Welcome to New World Notes. I am Kenneth Doust. On May 7, Professor David Ray Griffin spoke at the University of Hartford. His talk was titled, Is the War in Afghanistan Justified by 9/11? Griffin showed that most of the official story of what happened on 9/11/2001 does not stand up to any scrutiny. We heard two-thirds of the talk in June. Today we'll hear the final third. 9/11 is not just ancient history. President Obama continues to invoke 9/11 to justify U.S. military adventures in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. And we saw the anti-Muslim hysteria that was whipped up in opposition to an Islamic cultural center in Lower Manhattan. Three World Trade Center buildings collapsed on 9/11, the Twin Towers, and the 47-story Building 7. Today, Dr. Griffin focuses on Building 7. It was not struck by an airplane. It had some minor fires on a few floors. It suddenly collapsed onto its own footprint with a level roof line in 6.5 seconds. A CBS News video shows the collapse, with Dan Rather's voice saying that it looks just like a controlled demolition. You didn't see the videos of Building 7's collapse replayed 1,000 times on TV, or even once, probably. Why not, do you think? David Ray Griffin presents the evidence that Building 7 was brought down by a controlled demolition, and he shows that the official government report on the collapse is a work of scientific fraud. Let me clarify one point. Griffin refers to evidence of extremely high temperatures in the building, and to evidence of thermite. Thermite is an explosive used in a controlled demolition to cut through the steel supporting columns. It's the thermite that creates, locally, temperatures thousands of degrees hotter than fire can produce. I've condensed this talk very slightly. Here's David Ray Griffin.
I turn now to the strongest evidence that the 9/11 attacks were orchestrated by insiders rather than foreign terrorists. The destruction of the World Trade Center, and especially World Trade Center 7, which is the topic of my most recent book, The Mysterious Collapse of World Trade Center 7, Why the Final Official Report About 9/11 is Unscientific and False. I speak of the mysterious collapse because from the very beginning, the collapse of this building was seen as the biggest mystery of 9/11. Given the fact that the Twin Towers were hit by planes, which then, because of their jet fuel, started big fires, many people thought they had an intuitive understanding of why the towers came down. But Building 7 was not hit by a plane, and yet it came down at 5:21 that afternoon. This would have meant, assuming that it was not deliberately demolished by using explosives, that it had been brought down by fire alone, and this would have been an unprecedented occurrence. And science doesn't like these. It has this little fetish about the regularity of nature. New York Times writer James Glantz wrote, "Experts said no building like it, a modern steel-reinforced high-rise, had ever collapsed because of an uncontrolled fire." Glantz then quoted a structural engineer as saying, "Within the structural engineering community, Building 7 is considered to be much more important to understand than the Twin Towers because engineers had no answer to the question, why did 7 come down?" Moreover, although Glantz spoke of an uncontrolled fire, there were significant fires on only 6 of this building's 47 floors. And these fires were visible for at most 3 to 4 hours. And yet fires have burned in other steel frame high-rise buildings for 17 or 18 hours, turning them into veritable towering infernals, and not a one has ever collapsed, not even a single floor has collapsed. So why did 7 come down? FEMA, which in 2002 put out the first official report on the World Trade Center, admitted that its best hypothesis with regard to World Trade Center 7 had only a low probability of occurrence. And those of you who are scientists know that science speak for, we don't have a clue. By its best hypothesis, FEMA meant the best hypothesis it could articulate in light of the fact that as a government agency, it could not posit the use of explosives. Now, why might anyone think that explosives had been used to bring the building down? One reason is simply that prior to 9/11, every collapse of a steel frame building in the known universe had been produced by explosives in the procedure known as controlled demolition. Collapse has never been caused by earthquakes, fires, or any cause other than explosives. Another reason to posit explosives is that this building came straight down, collapsing into its own footprint. How many of you have never seen the collapse, a video of the collapse of World Trade Center 7? Don't be embarrassed because they haven't wanted you to see it. How many have never seen it? Quite a few. Here's what happens. The building is standing perfectly still, and at 5:21, all of a sudden, now people have told me I need to work on my Building 7 impersonation. In Toronto and Montreal, it was great. Richard Gage was with me, so I didn't have to do this. They could just look at the video. And I just today got an email from a guy in Australia who had seen Richard when he was down there a few months ago. And he said it was so amazing when Richard showed this video of Building 7 came down and about half of the audience gasped. It's that startling if you think that fire brought down the building. It's startling because for the building to come down that way with an almost perfectly level roof line, there's a little tiny kink in it, but otherwise it's perfectly level. For that to happen, all the steel columns supporting it, all 82 columns had to fail simultaneously. This is what happens in this kind of controlled demolition known as implosion, where you take out the middle columns, get the little kink, and then you take out the others in the order and in the way that makes the sides fall in upon themselves. So it ends up as a rather tidy little pile, this once 47-story building. This is done with explosives. This is not something that fire can do. So simply seeing the video shows anyone who knows anything about these things that the building was brought down by explosives. On 9/11 itself, CBS anchor Dan Rather said, "It's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen on television where a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down." You can be sure that never played again. In 2006, a filmmaker asked Danny Jowinkel, the owner of a controlled demolition company in the Netherlands, to comment on the video of 7 coming down without telling him what it was. Even though this was Jowinkel's business, he didn't know a third building had come down that day. And so when he saw it, he said, well, they simply blew up columns and the rest caved in afterwards. This is controlled demolition. When asked if he was certain, he replied, absolutely, it's been imploded. This was a hired job. A team of experts did this. An organization called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, which was formed by Richard Gage in 2006, now has over 1,200 members. Many of those joined after they saw the collapse of World Trade Center 7. In light of these considerations, an investigation seeking the truth about this collapse should have begun with a hypothesis that 7 was brought down by explosives. This is basic scientific method. You start with the most likely hypothesis based on precedent. However, this did not provide the starting point for NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which took over from FEMA the responsibility of putting out the official reports on this building. Instead, NIST said the challenge was to determine if a fire-induced floor system failure could occur in World Trade Center 7 under an ordinary building contents fire. So although every other steel-framed building that has collapsed did so because of explosives, NIST said, we think fire brought this one down. To understand why NIST would have begun with such an unscientific hypothesis, you need to understand that NIST is an agency of the U.S. Department of Commerce. And therefore, during the 8 years it was working on these reports, it was an agency of the Bush-Cheney administration. And this administration was accused by the Union of Concerned Scientists of distorting science for political purposes more than any previous administration. And this document was signed by over 15,000 scientists, dozens of them being Nobel laureates and National Medal of Science winners. Also, a scientist who had worked for NIST reported that by 2001, it had been fully hijacked from the scientific into the political realm, so that scientists working there had lost their scientific independence and became little more than hired guns. One manifestation of NIST's political nature may be the fact that it delayed its report on Building 7 year after year after year until the Bush-Cheney administration was about to leave office, releasing it only late in 2008. Be that as it may, NIST did, in August of 2008, finally put out a report in the form of a draft for public comment. Announcing this draft report at a press conference, Shyam Sunder, NIST lead investigator, said, our take-home message today is that the reason for the collapse of World Trade Center 7 is no longer a mystery. World Trade Center 7 collapsed because of fires fueled by office furnishings. It did not collapse from explosives. Sunder then added, science is really behind what we have said. However, far from being supported by good science, NIST repeatedly makes its case by resorting to scientific fraud in the technical sense. Two of the major types of scientific fraud, as defined by the National Science Foundation, are fabrication, which is making up results, and falsification, which means changing or omitting data. Claiming that it had found no evidence of a controlled demolition event, NIST simply omitted or distorted all such evidence. Some of this was testimonial. Two city officials, Barry Jennings of the Housing Authority and Michael Hess, the city's corporation counsel and Mayor Giuliani's good friend, reported that they became trapped by a massive explosion in Building 7 shortly after they had arrived in this building at 9 o'clock that morning, shortly after the first attack on the towers. However, NIST claimed that what they had called an explosion was simply the impact of debris from the North Tower collapse, which didn't occur until 10:28. So this was at least an hour after the event they reported. NIST rather obviously distorted these men's testimony. Other people reported that explosions went off in the late afternoon when the building started to come down. Reporter Peter DeMarco of the New York Daily News said, there was a rumble. The building's top row of windows popped out. Then all the windows on the 39th floor. Then the 38th floor. Pop, pop, pop was all you heard until the building sunk into a rising cloud of gray. NIST dealt with all such testimonies by simply ignoring them. NIST also ignored a lot of physical evidence. For example, three professors from Worcester Polytechnic Institute discovered a piece of steel from Building 7 that had melted so severely that it had been thinned down and had holes in it so that it looked like a piece of Swiss cheese. The New York Times pointing out that the fires in the building could not have melted the steel called this the deepest mystery uncovered in the investigation. The three professors in a report included as an appendix to the 2002 FEMA report said, a detailed study into the mechanisms of this phenomenon is needed. When NIST took over from FEMA, it promised that it would carry out all of FEMA's recommendations. However, When the NIST report came out in 2008, it did not mention this piece of Swiss cheese steel. Indeed, NIST even claimed that no steel from this building had been identified. This was just the beginning of NIST's omission of physical evidence. The nearby Deutsche Bank building was heavily contaminated by dust from the destruction of the World Trade Center. But the bank's insurance company refused to pay up, claiming that the dust was ordinary building dust. And so Deutsche Bank hired a research company, the R.J. Lee Group, and it showed that the dust did indeed have the unique World Trade Center chemical signature, which included spherical iron particles. And this meant, the R.J. Lee Group said, that iron had melted during the World Trade Center event. Now, this is significant because iron does not melt until it reaches 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit. The fires in the building under the most ideal circumstances, which did not obtain, could not have been over 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. The R.J. Lee study also found that temperatures had been reached at which lead would have undergone vaporization, meaning over 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Another study was carried out by scientists at the U.S. Geological Survey. Besides also finding iron particles, these scientists found that molybdenum had been melted, even though it has a notoriously high melting point, almost 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Even this was not the end of its omission of physical evidence. A report by several scientists, including University of Copenhagen chemist Niels Herit, showed that the World Trade Center dust contained unreacted nanothermite. Now, ordinary thermite is an incendiary, and it's been around for over 100 years. But nanothermite is a high explosive, and it is a recent invention. Now, this report by Herit and his colleagues did not appear until 2009, and so NIST could not have, in its 2008 report, mentioned it. But it should have, just following standard procedures, check the dust for evidence of thermite and thermate, which is another form of thermite, thermite with sulfur added to it to lower the melting point of steel, and nanothermite. So thermite is used as a generic term to cover all of those forms of thermite. NIST was asked, did it check the dust for thermite? It said no. When Jennifer Abel, a reporter for the Hartford Advocate, asked Michael Newman, a NIST spokesperson, why didn't they check for thermite? Newman said, because there was no evidence of that. But, asked Jennifer Abel, how can you know there's no evidence if you don't look for it first? Newman replied, if you're looking for something that isn't there, you're wasting your time and the taxpayers' money. I understand she lost her job shortly after that. In addition to omitting, falsifying, and fabricating evidence, NIST affirms a miracle. Many of you know this cartoon with the professor at the board, and he's got these formula and equations and several lines, and then one line says, then a miracle happens. Now, this is funny because if you know anything about science, you know that's one thing you absolutely cannot do. You cannot affirm a miracle, meaning a violation of the basic laws of physics. And yet, this is what NIST does. I'll explain. Members of the 9/11 Truth Movement had almost from the beginning, watching this video of the collapse, said that the building seemed to be coming down in free fall, or at least virtual free fall. Well, NIST said, not even close. In that 2008 draft for public comment put out in August, it said, the time it took for the floors to come down was approximately 40% longer than the computed freefall time and was consistent with physical principles, meaning laws of physics. As this statement implies, any assertion that the building did come down in free fall would not be consistent with physical principles. Explaining why not, Shamsunder said, a free fall time would be the fall time of an object that has no structural components below it. The time that it took for those floors to disappear was roughly 40% longer than free fall. And that is not at all unusual, because there was structural resistance that was provided in this particular case, meaning all those steel columns and concrete. And you had a sequence of structural failures. Remember, one column causes another, 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 another. Everything was not instantaneous. In response, high school physics teacher David Chandler challenged this denial of free fall, pointing out that this Sunder's 40% claim contradicted a publicly visible, easily measurable quantity. So then he showed how easy it was to measure this, putting a video on YouTube and slowing it down and measuring the acceleration of the building. And he said by measuring this, anyone knowing elementary physics could see that for about 2.5 seconds, the acceleration of the building is indistinguishable from free fall. Amazingly, NIST, in its final report put out in November, agreed. Dividing the building's descent into three stages, NIST described the second phase as a free fall descent over approximately 8 stories at gravitational acceleration for approximately 2.25 seconds. So its only quibble was it was only 2.25 seconds, not 2.5. So after presenting over 600 pages of descriptions, testimonies, photographs, analyses, explanations, graphs, and mathematical formula, NIST says, in effect, then a miracle happens. Knowing that it had thereby affirmed a miracle, NIST no longer claimed that its analysis was consistent with the laws of physics. In the August draft, it had said at least 3 times, after describing the fall of the building, the rate, it said, and this is consistent with physical principles, and this is consistent with physical principles. In the final draft, the final report, every instance of that claim was removed. Therefore, NIST almost explicitly admitted that its report on World Trade Center 7, by admitting free fall while continuing to deny that explosives were used, is not consistent with the laws of physics. The science of World Trade Center 7 is therefore settled. This fact is reflected in the agreement of many, many hundreds of professionals with various forms of expertise, architects, engineers, firefighters, physicists, and chemists, that this building was brought down by explosives. This truth has also recently been recognized by a symposium in one of our leading social science journals, the American Behavioral Scientist, which treats 9/11 as its prime example of what its authors call SCADs, State Crimes Against Democracy. Criticizing the majority of the academic world for its blithe dismissal of more than one law of thermodynamics that is implicit in the official theory of Building 7's collapse, it also criticized the Academy for its failure to protest when Professor Stephen Jones found himself forced out of a tenured position for merely reminding the world that physical laws, about which there is no dissent whatsoever, contradict the official theory. Now, Stephen Jones is the physicist who was teaching at Brigham Young University and was forced to resign. He is the one who discovered most of these types of physical evidence I have reported, including the nanothermite. He was the first one to discover that. Now, let me say another thing. What the social scientists in this symposium were saying was that, look, we're social scientists. We presuppose the natural sciences. We presuppose these laws that have held good since the time of Newton. We can't just say and stand by idly when they put out a government report that says those laws no longer obtain. That threatens our own standing. So we can't just ignore this. Let me back up. Another point they make in here, they quote Orwell. And Orwell had said in his famous book that in these dark times you may not be able to do very much, but at least you can keep alive the secret doctrine that 2 + 2 = 4. The implication being that we need to keep alive the secret doctrine that the laws of Newtonian physics still apply to high-rise steel frame buildings. So NIST, in effect, admitted that the laws of physics rule out its own theory. It thereby implicitly admitted that explosives were used. And with that implicit admission, NIST undermined the Al-Qaeda theory of 9/11. Why? For one thing, the straight-down nature of the collapse of the Twin Towers, as well as Building 7, means that the buildings were subjected to that type of controlled demolition that I mentioned called implosion. And this, in the words of a controlled demolition website, is by far the trickiest type of explosive project which only a handful of blasting companies in the world possess the experience to perform. Al-Qaeda terrorists would not have had the expertise to bring these buildings straight down. Another reason. The only reason to bring the building straight down, the easy way to bring them down, is to make them topple over sideways. Lots of companies can do that. But think what would have happened if those 110-story Twin Towers and the 47-story Building 7 had come over sideways. You would have destroyed dozens and dozens of buildings in lower Manhattan and killed thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Do you think even if Al-Qaeda had had the expertise to bring the building straight down, they would have had the courtesy? A third problem is that foreign terrorists could not have obtained access to the buildings for all the hours it would have taken to plant those explosives. Only insiders could have done this. The science of the collapse of World Trade Center 7, therefore, disproves the claim used to justify the war in Afghanistan and Pakistan, increasingly, that America was attacked on 9/11 by Al-Qaeda. It suggests instead that 9/11 was a false flag attack to provide a pretext to attack Muslim countries. The official rationale for our presence in Afghanistan and Pakistan is illegitimate, and we are there for other reasons which our political and military leaders will not reveal. This war is neither legally nor morally justified. It is, in fact, an abomination. We should demand that our troops be withdrawn as quickly as possible. Thank you very much.
Dr. David Ray Griffin, ending a long and fascinating talk at the University of Hartford. You'll find the CBS News footage of Building 7's collapse on the show's website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. The video is only about 15 seconds, and I think you'll find it time well spent. Once again, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. Illegitimae non carborundum, and let's keep trying to live each day as though the truth were true. Ciao.